Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. One of the absolutely key and central ideas that Kant is introducing in his Prolegomena to any future metaphysics and elaborating in part two of the Transcendental Question is that of pure concepts of the understanding. And the German for this is Verstandesbegriffe, so concepts of the faculty of the understanding. And it turns out the understanding is doing an awful lot and is, you might say, filled up with a lot of these concepts. And if we look at section 21 onward, we're going to get a lot of really cool diagrams in just a minute. He says, to prove that the possibility of experience so far as it rests upon pure a priori, that's part of what it means here, concepts of the understanding, we must first represent what belongs to judgments in general. Now, why do we need to do this? So he's going to tell us that these are concepts of intuition, Anschauung, which could be sensibility, perception, right? But in general, überhaupt, a very important term that he uses at several points, we have intuitions in general, intuitions as the class of things. We also have consciousness as individual consciousness and as consciousness in general, as he's going to bring up as well. And what we want to do is look at how these actually work. So what he's going to tell us here is that we must first represent what belongs to judgments in general and the various moments or functions of the understanding of them. And we're going to be looking at that in a table in just a moment. And then he says, and here the German and the English translation don't run themselves in exact parallel because this notion of running parallel is made front and center, right? So he says, these pure concepts of the understanding must run parallel to the moments of what? Of the understanding in judgments. And so what are these that the pure concepts of understanding are running parallel to? So, well, we got to back up a little bit, or actually jump ahead in the English text a little bit. It says, these concepts are nothing more than concepts of intuition in general, so far as these are determined, bestimmt, right, by one or other of these moments of judging in themselves necessarily and universally. So the act of judging, something that our understanding is doing all the time, whether we're paying attention to it or not, is something that these pure concepts of understanding are reflecting. So this is where we get to these interesting tables, which you can, of course, look up in the text yourself. And these correspond quite famously to, you know, what Kant is going to be talking about later on as categories as well. So he tells us, he goes on a little bit more, and he says that hereby also the a priori principles of the possibility of all experience as objectively valid empirical cognition will be precisely determined. Why? They're nothing but propositions which subsume all perception conformably to certain universal conditions of intuition under those pure concepts of the understanding. So we're not yet getting what the pure concepts of the understanding are, but they are running parallel to these tables. One of the tables, however, is going to be of the concepts of the understanding. So let's look at the first one, right? Kant begins by setting out a logical table of judgments. And you'll find this in the Prolegomena. You'll also find this in the Critique of Pure Reason. And there's a much fuller treatment there that we're not going to worry about or go into. So he talks about four kinds, or four, whatever you want to call them, classes of judgments. There's judgments about quantity. There's judgments about quality. There's judgments about relation, and there's judgments about modality. So these are logical, not in the sense of doing like formal logic that you might do in a logic class, but rather, how do we actually classify judgments, or what corresponds to them, propositions or cognitions? How do we classify them in their greatest generality? So in respect of quantity, we have universal, like all S is P. We have particular, we have singular. With each of these, there's going to be three, right? So we have 12 total. With respect to quality, we have affirmative, negative, and what Kant calls infinite, right? In relation to relation, we have categorical, hypothetical, and disjunctive. Disjunctive is saying either this or that, right? And then as to modality, problematic, assertoric, apodeictic, right? And apodeictic is a term that Kant uses a lot. Assertoric just means saying, well, this is the case, right? Problematic, this could be the case. And as to the apodeictic, this must be the case, right? So what do we have here? We have ways of combining intuitions or other kinds of judgments within a framework that could be yielding us judgments or propositions that are universal and negative, right? So this is what allows us to make sense out of what it is that we are encountering. And then he goes on to the transcendental table of concepts of the understanding. And here we're working with the same four big things: quantity, quality, relation, modality. But now we have for quantity, unity, plurality, and totality, right? So three different ways, again, of thinking about quantity of matters. I won't say things, but just the matters that we are actually grasping in perception, in experience, talking about, referencing, thinking about, judging about. Quality, reality, negation, and limitation. In relation, here's where we get to very interesting metaphysical stuff, right? Substance, cause, community, and then modality, possibility, existence, necessity. And you might say, okay, that's all great, but what good does this do us? Well, for Kant, it's not that we're going to be doing something with these right away in any sort of special and productive, you know, exercise. Kant is saying we are using these all of the time. We've been using them so long as human beings have been thinking, judging, speaking, engaging in judgment, cognition, and proposition. Right? So it's important to lay these out, even though it might seem a little bit commonsensical to some of you, and it might also seem kind of arbitrary to others. We get to see the upshot of this when we move on a little bit further, skipping over the pure physiological table of the universal principles of natural science, which we'll come to later on. So he says, here's a very important proviso. In order to comprise the whole matter in one idea, first we have to remind the reader we're discussing not the origin of experience, but what lies in experience. We're not doing, as he calls it, empirical psychology. We are trying to think of how experience actually works for us. So he says, experience consists of intuitions. We already know this, right? And those are given to us from sensibility. And he says, judgments, which are entirely a work of the understanding. Okay, so far, so good. This seems like something that we already knew from earlier on in the Prolegomena. But then he says this: the judgments which the understanding makes entirely out of sensuous intuitions are far from being judgments of experience. So what makes it a judgment of experience? He says, the judgments must express what experience in general and not what the mere perception contains. So the judgment of experience must add to the sensuous intuition, right, which we've already got, and to the judgment of the understanding, its logical connection in a judgment, something that determines the synthetic judgment is necessary and therefore is universally valid. What could this be? So Kant is going to tell us the only thing this could actually be is the concept, the Begriff, which represents the intuition as determined in itself with regard to one form of judgment rather than another. That's not in the intuition itself, right? And it is, you could say, in the judgment that is connecting it with other things through the understanding. But what we're doing here is we're saying, well, what kind of judgment are we actually making? This is where we can say it's a judgment about plurality. It's a judgment about cause. Or if we go back to the logical table of judgments, it's an apodeictic, universal, affirmative judgment, right? We can clarify these types of judgments. And these are universal. These are general. These are überhaupt, right? So he goes on and he says that this is a concept of a synthetic, we're putting things together, unity of intuitions, which can only be represented by a given logical function of judgments. So we're inevitably using the pure concepts of the understanding, which are either already contained in one of these tables or correspond to, run parallel to, these moments of judgment. And so he says, if we think about how we unite representations, intuitions in a consciousness, which is judgment, which is the same thing as thinking, right? He says that they can be merely subjective when they're referred to a consciousness in one subject only and you're united in it. So, you know, we have this sort of thing happening all the time. Nothing wrong with those. That's how we get by as individuals in the world. But we can go beyond that. He says they are objective when they are united in a consciousness in general, Bewusstsein überhaupt, the consciousness that all of us have and we could say could participate in, that is necessarily. And so he says the logical moments of these judgments are so many ways of uniting representations in consciousness. And if they serve as concepts, Begriffe, they are concepts of the necessary unification of representations in a consciousness, and so are principles of universally valid judgments, or objectively valid judgments. And he says, you can either do this by making analytic judgments by identity, or synthetic by combining and adding various representations to one another. And this is what, he says, experience actually consists in, synthetic connection of appearances in consciousness, so far as this connection is necessary. So, you know, we can talk about like, well, my experience, if it's just your experience, only subjectively valid, it's not what Kant is calling experience here, right? For it to be possible experience in the Kantian sense, it has to be everybody's possible experience. And he says that the pure concepts of the understanding are those concepts under which all perceptions must first be subsumed before they can serve for judgments of experience. So these, you could say, precede in a certain way the judgments that we actually make. Because Kant thinks all of us, as human beings, as consciousness, have to judge in the same way. Now, we can make mistakes, of course. We can misidentify things. But the possibility of doing that is predicated on recognizing that there are objectively valid, holding for everybody, ways of properly judging. And those are using these pure concepts of the understanding. So we get to find out what these are by looking closely at the very activity of engaging in judgments of experience. And now we've got these concepts to work with. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.